Chapter 4. Options. The gentleman who had so keenly requested an interview was a devoted friend. He had obtained a way of helping Ernest deal with the seriousness of his current financial situation. The rumors were true. Ernest was in a position of severe financial trouble. He had personally been involved with a company that had failed. Then whispers of his own inability to pay his debts had followed on the bankruptcy of that company. He had already tried to obtain loans through the usual ways. However, he had been met by pretexts for delay. Now his friend had arrived with a letter of introduction to a private investor. This investor was well known in business circles for his daring risks in other enterprises and his great wealth. Looking at the letter, Ernest observed that the envelope was sealed. After his friend left, Ernest went out and presented the sealed letter to the investor. He did this despite his own feelings of doubt on the use of such a personal introduction. And on this occasion, he was not met with excuses. The investor absolutely declined to help Mr. Lismore with his debts. That is, not unless Mr. Lismore were supported by businessmen of good name. Thus, Ernest made one last effort. He sought help from two businessmen whom he had assisted before when they were in difficulties. Their names would have satisfied the investor. They were very supportive and comforting in their speech to Mr. Lismore. Yet they, too, refused to help. You see, the one protection or security he could offer was open to serious objections. This was due to its high risk. He wanted an advance of £20,000. It was to be secured on a ship bound for England and its goods. However, the ship was not protected from damage or loss. What was more, it was the stormy season. The ship was already more than a month delayed. Could grateful partners be blamed if they forgot their obligations when they were asked to offer financial help to a man in this situation? Perhaps not. Ernest returned to his office without any money available to him. A man threatened by poverty is in no state of mind to keep an engagement at a lady's tea table. Ernest sent a letter of apology to Mrs. Callender. He claimed extreme pressure of business as the excuse for breaking his engagement. "Am I to wait for an answer, sir?" the messenger asked. "No, you are to just leave the letter." To Ernest's astonishment, the messenger returned with a reply an hour later. "The lady was just going out, sir, when I rang at the door," he explained. "She took the letter from me herself. She didn't appear to know your handwriting. She asked who had sent me. When I mentioned your name, I was ordered to wait." Ernest opened the letter. "Dear Mr. Lismore, one of us must speak out. Your letter of apology forces me to be that one. If you are really so proud and so lacking in trust as you seem to be, I shall hurt your feelings. If not, I shall prove myself to be your friend. Your excuse is the pressure of business. However, the truth, as I have good reason to believe, is want of money. I was at that recent public meeting. Someone said that you were seriously troubled by some failure in the city. Let me tell you what my own financial position is in a few words. I am the childless widow of a rich man." Ernest paused. His anticipated discovery of Mrs. Callender's charming daughter was in his mind for the moment. "That little romance must return to the world of dreams," he thought. He went on with the letter. "After what I owe to you, I don't regard it as paying back an obligation. I consider myself just performing a duty when I offer to assist you by providing you with a loan of money. Wait a little before you throw my letter into the wastebasket. It is impossible for me to mention everything before we meet. Circumstances out of my control allow me to help you. However, these circumstances come with a very strange and very embarrassing condition. If you are on the point of downfall, that bad luck will be my excuse and your excuse also if you accept the loan on my terms. In any case, I rely on the sympathy and patience of the man to whom I owe my life. There is now only one thing to add. I do not accept your excuses. I shall expect to see you tomorrow evening as we have arranged. I am an obstinate old woman, but I am also your faithful friend and servant, Mary Callender." Ernest looked up from the letter. What can this possibly mean? He wondered. He was too sensible to be content with wondering, so he decided to keep his engagement with the widow.